Good evening, morning, afternoon, whenever you are engaging with this. Welcome to Shift Church. It's great to have you with us. You might be watching on the live stream on our Facebook page. You might be listening to us as a podcast. You might be catching up on YouTube. Who knows? Anyway, my name is Tim Carter. I'm the vicar at All Saints Church in Wellington, Catherine's in Ayton. And this is Shift Church, our weekly catch up, reflection on things, look at a bit of Bible, pray together, do comment in the comment stream. And I've got with me this evening, I've got Sarah. Say hi, Sarah.
Hello, everybody. Wonderful evening if you're watching live with the sun shining. If you're catching up, then hello to you guys catching up.
Say hello, Sean.
Hello, everybody. How are you all tonight? Hopefully you'll be really enthralled by everything we have to say. That's what I'm hoping.
Enthralled.
Yeah, what does that mean? I don't know.
You're aiming a bit high there, Sean.
Yeah, something like that. Remember, I've got a cold, so you know, I'm probably saying hello, brother. So
that's all right. As long as we can avoid sending people to sleep.
Like, yes.
Maybe some people listen to us as they're falling asleep in the evening. I know a lot of people do that with podcasts, just to have something good as they're dropping off to sleep of an evening. So that's good. As I said, do if you're with us live, do comment in the comment stream, chat to each other, ask questions, put prayer requests in. Who's looking after the stream tonight? I forgot to ask.
That's Sean. Me.
Sean's in charge of that. So he'll share some of the stuff on the screen and on the audio from stuff in the stream. But if you're catching up and you want to be part of the conversation, you still can. Just drop me an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. Or join our Facebook group and stick it in there and support each other during the week. That would be good.
Yeah, and if there's any prayers that anybody wants, then pop it on the chat and Sean will work that in. And also, if you know in advance what you're going to want prayer for, then just feel free to do it and send the request in the week, and we've got it all ready. So,
yeah, that's good because Sarah's in charge of prayers tonight. I think I've just worked that out.
Yes.
So this evening we're going to be thinking a little bit about hope through the summer. We're doing just one little one-off specials, just looking at different things. And this evening we're thinking about hope, which I think a lot of us could do with a little bit more of after the year we've had. And I wonder, I'm going to spring this. I wonder if there's anything as a youngster. At the moment we're watching, I'm watching quite a lot of Olympics. And quite often in the interviews afterwards, the athletes talk about their hopes and dreams of having got to the Olympics from being very small. And I wonder if any of you have got any hopes that you had as a youngster, either fulfilled or unfulfilled, realistic or unrealistic. Did anybody want to be an astronaut or something like that?
No, not for me. Definitely not.
I'm laughing because I don't know whether Shift Church is the place to say it. We're all friends. Now, I always wanted to be a nurse, and I realised that apart from when, and I don't really remember it, well, I might have a hazy thing, when I was four and at nursery, and we were asked what we wanted to do, apparently I said I wanted to be a stripper.
Uh-huh.
Now, yeah. I don't know why 19 whatever it was I even knew at the age of four what a stripper was. Suffice to say, I never realized that dream, and it was soon overtaken by being a nurse. But yeah, it always makes me smile.
Well, David Sims says he wanted to be an airline pilot, apparently.
No.
I suspect that was so that he could make funny announcements when they were coming into land.
Yes, definitely.
But certainly not the pilot, because for a geography teacher, he sometimes gets his coordinates mixed up, doesn't he? By his own admission, right. David, you've admitted it before. You're not much good for a geography teacher when you query where something is and what have you. That's what I mean.
That's a bit mean, him not being here. Everybody's taking lumps out of him.
He's at the chat. He's on the other end of the chat. Have a go back, David. I've been there. I've heard you say it more than once.
Well, he hasn't commented, but Liz says that she wanted to be an author, and Ali said she wanted to be a prison warden.
Oh, wow. Nice one, Ali.
Yeah.
Is that because she had a sibling she wanted to lock up?
Probably, yeah. I should imagine.
Or watch Prison Cell Block H and got the, you know.
Yeah, it's... You do the prison chaplain thing, don't you?
Yeah, when COVID allows. Yeah. I absolutely adore it. I absolutely love it. The time spent with the guys at Oakwood, yeah.
Yeah, well, I worked at Princewood, which is next to Oakwood, actually.
Yeah.
And yours Oakwood was a bit more severe than Princewood, because Princewood was youth offenders.
Yeah.
So, I didn't enjoy it at all, really. It wasn't a pleasant experience, really, especially when you were locked in three times.
Yeah.
You go through one door, they lock it, then you go through another one, they lock it, and then you go through a third one, then they lock it, and it's like, oh dear, if anything happens, I'm not getting out of it. So it really didn't encourage me at all, really.
Yeah, we ought to encourage you that they were safely locked in.
Right, so we are thinking about hope. And Sarah sent me two spoken word things on this, and they're both quite short. They sparked some interesting thoughts for me. Didn't necessarily agree with everything on them, but they're quite short, so I thought we'd have them both back to back. So have a listen to these, see what you make of them. And when we're having a chat later, if there's anything that strikes you about them or you want a question, just put it in the comments stream. And here we go. I have to remember which way around we did this. We're doing it this way around. Here we go.
Uncertain, vague, unsure, unresolved, unclear, questionable, hanging, unsettled. You never know, though you want to know, as to when or if we will ever win. Earth is watching while you are waiting. Nature is breathing while you are wondering. Questions, doubts, worries, anxiety, family, company, community, humanity. What can you do? Or is there really something you can ever do? Tired of getting tired, bored of getting bored, sick of being sick. Never thought life would be this static. Others are suffering, some end up dying. Some take their own lives, depression consume their minds. Yes, it's easy to talk about pain and sorrow. Yet only few talk about hope and tomorrow. Hope is what you need to know. Hope is what you need to win. Hope is something you can do. That's what tomorrow needs from you. Time will heal everything. That's his promise. Everything will be restored. Even the lost time. He promised you'd still get what is planned for you. So tomorrow needs something from you.
As a man and woman who feels lost and confused.
Or the hurting child who's been wronged and abused.
To the one who thinks they deserve the
guilt and the blame.
And to those who grieve, and to the one who's in pain.
This is hope.
For the one who's searching, but their way back is unknown.
Doubts they will ever find their way home.
To the one with shattered hopes and dreams.
He longs for purpose and wonders what this world means.
There is hope.
Hope is more than wishful thinking, even though it's less than sight.
It's knowing that though there's darkness here, on the other side there is light.
Hope is confidently trusting what God said to be true.
And it's knowing that what he said, he will faithfully do.
This is hope.
Even when you hope less and feel more doubt.
You're never hopeless because God's love never runs out.
And when you're so afflicted, weary, and hurting.
Jesus says with love and compassion, come unto me.
Because Jesus is hope.
Because Jesus is hope.
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 Because Jesus is hope.
Ah, there we are. Yeah, I think that last one was made at a Christmas time, but I think the message about all year round, so I'm not going to worry too much about that.
Yeah, I love the waterfalls in the first one. Mm. I love water. Yeah,
I do too. I'm not sure that I always find it easy to talk about pain and sorrow.
Well, lots of people don't, do they? And that's why lots of people get so affected by it, because they won't talk about it and they hold it within, and then that hurts all the more.
Yeah. Mm. And definitely a man thing, isn't it? We don't like to talk about things like that. It's too deep. We can't cope with it, you see.
You're saying that men are shallow, Sean?
No, we're not shallow. We don't communicate like you women do. We are, you know, we've got to be strong and we've got to, you know, hold it all in and don't let show our emotions. So,
I know. I think things are getting better for men on that front, though.
Yeah.
I think a lot more people willing, you know, they're speaking out now, and especially when it's somebody that's in the public eye.
Yeah.
And they see it's okay for a man to say, you know what, I'm upset, I'm scared, I'm hurting. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, if there are other reflections that others have on those things or questions you want to ask, do stick them in the comments or send us an email. But we're going to move on to have some Bible readings. Who's reading for us first?
I think that's me. 1 Peter. Yeah. So the first reading, 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3-9. I'm going to be reading from the New International Version. And this is when Peter gives instructions on holy living for those who are suffering persecution. So 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 3-9. Praise to God for a living hope. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honour when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Amen.
Amen.
It's one of my favourite verses in the Bible. Mm. You've received a new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead.
Yeah. When I read that, it just makes me think of the song Living Hope.
Yeah. What have you got for us, Sean?
Well, I'm reading from 1 Peter as well. I'm reading from verses 13 to 21. And the title of the chapter is Be Holy. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, Be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. So we've got a guest speaker this evening. We've got David's talk from Sunday, which will be fun to have a chat about. It's not going to be long before David's off. I think he's on shift next week, and that will be his last shift church. He's moving on to Aldridge, for those of you who didn't know. His last Sunday with us will be Sunday the 8th, so we're making him work hard while he's here.
Mm. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Hope you still tune in and watch us, David.
Well, he might have his own church to lead at that point.
Yeah, I know, but it'd be nice to think he was at the other end of the, the stream.
When people go, you have to let them go.
I know.
You know. Right, here we go. Enjoy.
Good morning, everybody. Can you hear me? For you. Hopefully on the way in you've been given, if you've got little people with you, you've been given a bag with some things in. Do we have any bags left, or have they all gone out? They've all gone. Happy days. So I'm just going to share some brief thoughts kind of for 5 or 10 minutes, if that. And you've got a little bag with you. And if you have, you've got a couple of things to make while I'm doing my talk. And you've got two trees to make. Grown-ups, please help. There are some scissors in the bag. And you've got some blue tack to try and stand the trees up, and you can cut out the leaves and stuff like that while I'm talking. Try and do it at the same time. So while I'm talking about tree number one in a minute, start making tree number one. You might find a chocolate bar in there. Withhold the temptation, brothers and sisters, to eat it yet. Try to, because you can. I will be doing something with it. But don't worry if you've already eaten it. You are forgiven. There's grace in this place. Hear the rustling of paper as people start cutting out. Happy days. Are we happy? Are we good? Mummy's just gone to stop Samuel from escaping. Great. So Harriet read to us from a book of 1 Peter. Those of you with really good memories will remember that I did a sermon all about the living hope we read about in 1 Peter a couple of years ago. And I won't be repeating myself, but if this passage is special to you, when you get home, jump on our website or our podcast page, go back and listen to that. That's kind of a 25-minute bit of a deeper look at what Peter says. Peter writes about the year 64 AD to a church that is scattered. Maybe the church had gathered at Pentecost and then was scattered all over the place. And he writes about this living hope. And Peter says two things about living hope. I'm going to read one of the verses again. In his great mercy, he has given us birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead into an inheritance. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead and the inheritance. So what I want us to think about today is that that hammock is the living hope. We rest in the living hope that God gives us. And it's between the tree of the resurrection, which we'll talk about in a second, and the tree of the inheritance. So we'll come to that in a sec. Because so far we've been looking at hope. And to begin with, me and Sean did an amazing dramatic display that we clearly rehearsed a lot before about films about hope. And all those hopes were kind of, maybe not selfish, but they were about that person, weren't they? I want to be famous. I want to have more money. I want to have a good circus. I want to be the best toy or whatever it is. Maybe with Harry Potter, there's a bit less the selfishness, but there's still something about fame and fortune that's there. Whereas when we look in the Bible, we saw that in the video that we saw, and when we open our Bible, there's a different kind of hope that we talk about. So number one is the resurrection tree. Nope, let's try it there. You see, the Bible sometimes uses the word tree as a symbol for the cross that Jesus died on. And what you'll remember is that the cross is empty. In fact, the tomb's empty as well. Jesus is alive. He died on the tree, but he's alive. We worship this morning a living God. If we didn't, there'd be really no point in coming together, would there? There'd be no point at all. We might think of the story in 1 Kings 18 where Elijah's a bit naughty and he gets the prophets of Baal and he says, let's have a little contest. This is a paraphrase. He says, let's have a little contest. And the prophets of Baal make all these altars up and they shout to Baal, come on, set these altars on fire. And nothing happens. And Elijah says to them, maybe Baal's asleep. He says, maybe your God's on the toilet. That's what he says. He taunts them a bit. And then what Elijah says is, okay, my turn. Let me tell you about my God. My God doesn't sleep. And he actually pours water on the altars. You might remember that. And despite the fact that the altars are soaking wet with water, the fire falls. Because God is alive. The God we worship is alive. Jesus himself says in Revelation 1, do not be afraid. I am the first and the last, the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. And there's two things that this tells us this morning. First of all, like I said, God is alive. We come and we worship a living God. We say it in our liturgy, those of us that come for communion, we say, the Lord is here. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is here. His Spirit is with us. Jesus is alive. And the second thing that this reminds us is that that offer of the resurrection hope is for you and is for me. Over the last couple of weeks, as a church family, we know people who have been close to us who have died. We might think of Will Stone, we might think of Becky Plummer, and other people may be known to us, or maybe just known to us, who have died. And we mourn, and we grieve, and we miss them. And yet, we have a hope, don't we? That in the same way that Jesus was resurrected from the grave, that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead will one day resurrect me, resurrect you. We will stand before the first, the last, the living one. And maybe this morning that might be news to you. Maybe if you're tuning in online randomly, you've found us. It's news to you that there is life beyond this earth, this physical existence, that one day we will be physically resurrected from the grave. We will stand before Jesus, the first and the last. To me, that's very joyful and a little bit scary, that the God who knows me so well, I'll be stood in front of him. Thank goodness that Jesus took away all the sin and all the bad stuff I did, that I can stand before the throne of God. So that's the first tree, the tree of the resurrection. The second tree that gives us hope is the tree of the inheritance. Now, an inheritance is often something you get when someone dies. Let me move that out of the way so you can see it. Who needs sermon notes, hey? That's dangerous. An inheritance is something you often get when someone dies, maybe, and you get given money or property or something like that. And sometimes maybe that word inheritance and that interpretation can get into our thinking of what it means to have an inheritance. It's all about heaven. It's all about when we die. Maybe people have said to you, oh, you're only a Christian because you want to go to heaven when you die. And it's more than that, right? A relationship with Jesus is more than a ticket to eternal life. Because the inheritance is from Jesus, and Jesus died. He came back to life. We know that. The tomb is empty. He ascended to the Father, and he poured out the Holy Spirit on the early church. He pours out his Holy Spirit on us. And to me, that's part of the inheritance. It's not all of it. We don't have it in its fullness. That's what Peter says. We wait in longing for the fullness of the inheritance. But we get the offer of his Holy Spirit, his presence with us. His Holy Spirit makes us holy, amazingly, sanctifies us. His Holy Spirit brings us into a greater knowledge, greater wisdom into who it is that Jesus is. It leads us into all knowledge of the scripture and the Bible. And it empowers us. The Holy Spirit, the gift giver, the gift of tongues and interpretation and discernment and hospitality and all those many things that the Spirit does. And he offers that power to us as well. So we've got one tree, the resurrection, the empty cross, the empty tree. We've got the tree that reminds us of the inheritance, the Holy Spirit. But there's another aspect of the inheritance that looks forward to the future. Those of you that were here last week might have heard Tim talk about the tree of life in the book of Revelation. Let me read to you briefly about it. Revelation 22. On the other side of the river was the tree of life, bearing 12 kinds of fruits, yielding fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for healing of the nations. And it goes on to say in other parts of Revelation, there'll be no more crying, no more tears, no more mourning, no more pain, no more death. That's good news, isn't it? That link, that reminds us of the resurrection that brings us into that knowledge of what it means to have this inheritance. They're so linked together. And we look forward to Revelation 22, this tree of life. And in Revelation 18, I think it is as well, it's rooted in living water. Throughout the Bible, living water is often a symbol of the Holy Spirit or a word to mean the Holy Spirit. So my friends, this morning, how rooted are we in the living water? How rooted are we in his Holy Spirit? I know I always need to say, come Holy Spirit. And I know that sometimes that's weird because his Spirit is already here. But I still need a top up sometimes. I still need refreshing. The word in Greek in scripture often means continually filled. It's like a boat sailing and that wind that blows into a sail doesn't just do it once and stops. That wind continually fills the sail. And that's my prayer, saying, Lord, continually fill me with your Holy Spirit. So between these two trees, we rest. But I don't know about you, I find it quite hard to rest in a hammock. Hands up if you've tried to get in a hammock before. Keep your hand up if you've managed to do it without falling out. Great. Any of you got it on video? That would have been a good video, a sermon illustration, wouldn't it? That's a shame. Well done, Arthur. Good, yeah, you often fall out of things, don't you, Arthur? That's good. Clumsiest child in the world. But do you remember getting into that, what's it called, hammock, and whoop, bit of wobble, whoop, wobble, and all of a sudden you're front over bottom and you're all over the place, right? You're not resting. And so this is a bit of a symbol of that inheritance. And in your bag, maybe you've made two trees and you can rest your chocolate bar, which is a take-a-break chocolate bar, between the two. But there is another way that we can rest, isn't there? Something that refreshes us and fills us with living water. Oh! You see, I think I've taken my microphone out. I'm sure I have. Is it in my pocket? It's fine. You can still hear me, right? When we rest in the paddling pool of God's inheritance, there's a sense that actually we are much more refreshed. You might tonight be, this morning, be wobbling around in... You might be... Yeah. I'm already wet. You might be wobbling around a bit in your hammock resting between the resurrection, it's very cold, the resurrection of Jesus and the inheritance. You might be holding on and clinging on, but maybe God's saying, actually, forget about the hammock. Rest in his living water. It's warmer than this. And it's the presence of his Holy Spirit which will empower you and give you the ability to do that. So while I dry off, Caroline is going to lead you in a little prayer using some tennis balls that you've got to help you think about that living hope. And I'm going to encourage you on that tennis ball to think about what it is you need a bit of living hope for. We've talked about the resurrection. Maybe that's a real hope that you need. We've talked about the fact that Jesus will come back. That's life-changing. If we believe that, that changes our aspect of everything. We've talked about the fact that we rest. I'm going to do it again just to make you remember. Sorry, mic team. We rest in the living, refreshing water of God's Holy Spirit. Oh, my goodness. And it's refreshing. Yes, Arthur. Yeah, I have got a spare change of clothes. You'll be pleased to hear in the side room. Or maybe actually you just need to know that God loves you this morning and that you're resting in that living hope. So over to Caroline while I dry off. I was tempted to do a call to baptism this morning, but there's not quite enough water. But seriously, if you're thinking with this water, if you haven't given your life to Jesus and that's something you want to talk about, grab us afterwards. If you're in need of that certain hope, that cornerstone that we have of faith, that Jesus loves you, he died for you, he calls you to follow him and rest between the resurrection and the inheritance that one day he'll come up again, talk to us. And we'd love to have that conversation with you. I'm going to dribble all over the carpet and dry off. Good.
I hope you're going to take over doing those sort of things, Tim, when we've not got David anymore.
I agree. Yeah, definitely.
We are going to miss him.
Oh dear.
There we go. So, hope, living hope. I wonder what your reactions are to those thoughts.
I thought it was interesting what David said, because I've heard it so many times about, oh, the only reason that you're a Christian is that you're scared of dying and you want to, you know, believe that there's something after, and that's the thing that will make sure that if there is, then we'll get there and what have you. All it's the only thing, it's the only reason to believe is about the death aspect of it. And I think a lot of people who don't have a faith or don't understand faith properly don't fully appreciate how much hope our faith gives us whilst we're still alive and living. I mean, you know, it's when things seem desperate, having that hope, and that hope often being founded on previous experience, is an amazing thing, and it just totally transforms your life when you know that, you know, you've got that in Jesus. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's a thing that I've heard many times before.
Yeah. What about you, Sean?
Yeah, I agree, actually, Sarah. I think people like to, you know, accuse you of being, you know, a follower of Jesus or a Christian, if you like, because, oh, you're going to get something out of it, as in, you know, you go to heaven or, you know, but actually the hope thing is so important to encourage people in that actually, you know, you're not groping around in the dark, or, you know, you're not relying on, you know, material things. There's actually a hope that is in Christ, that he died on the cross for us. Mm-hmm. And that what he did means that we can receive everything from God, which is hope, love, peace, joy, all of those things. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I think it's really important that we can try and get that message over to people. And David's illustration was obviously very good. As he said on the comments, what was it? He said, great sermon this. And he was saying, actually, I don't think you'd have been very happy about this, actually, Tim. He said, I nearly filled the baptistry and jumped in, decided it would be a step too far. So
there was some self-control being shown there, but perhaps not much humility.
No, obviously not, no. Oh, dear.
Yeah, I was sort of thinking about this as well afterwards, and then when thinking about this evening and, you know, hope, I actually asked myself, do I have hope, or have I used to have hope, but I feel that that's almost been replaced or has become interchangeable with trust, because I feel I don't have to hope as such anymore, because I trust God, I trust Jesus.
Yeah.
Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I don't know if I'm getting across properly, but...
I'm just trying to remember. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. I'm just going to look something up.
Well, Ali Graham has said, I can't imagine navigating this life without that solid foundation of hope.
Mm.
This is a great comment, I think.
Mm. I think it's great to, if you're sort of feeling uncertain about stuff and you know, you've got to put that hope, that trust in God. Like I said, think back at all the other times when things have seemed so desperate, and reflect on that and remember just how good God has already been.
Yeah.
You know, and that's certainly what's made the difference to me in just totally looking at things that way, you know. Just looking back, if ever I'm worried about the future, look back and see what he's already done for me.
Yeah. I mean, I was just looking something up that links together those kind of that intertwined nature of faith and hope, because there's lots of Bible verses that link them together. Not quite interchangeable, but the one I was looking for is Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see.
Yeah.
It's confidence in what we hope for.
Yeah.
So that links that trust and hope thing together, doesn't it?
That is actually my my Bible verse. I'm not going to use the word favourite, because that's not the point of it. It's the verse that I always gravitate towards. I had it. It was given to me when I was a young Christian, and it's something that stuck with me a long time. That hope of faith, being sure of what you hope for and certain of what you cannot see. You know, it's just an amazing verse, really, because it just speaks about everything about the gospel and Jesus you know, what he did and that he's there. You know, even though we can't see him, we're hoping in him, because he is there and he's working in the background, or, you know, behind the scenes, if you like. We're hoping in that. We're hoping in that power and that glory that Christ brings. So, and it's never going to end. It's continuous. It's all the time, isn't it? It's
hallelujah.
Yeah, you know, God says he doesn't sleep. God doesn't sleep, does he? You know, he's there working all the time, and it's great.
It's that 24/7 Olympics. That's what it is, up with all of us.
Yeah.
No, it's that's absolutely true. Absolutely.
Though sometimes it does feel like he is asleep, and the little candle of hope can flicker.
Yes. Yeah.
Those are tough times, aren't they?
Yes.
They are tough times. But I don't know. I think the way I've come to look at it now is, it's all here, isn't it? It's having that strength to be able to, when the temptation and the feeling is that you of just letting, when I say let, it's not a case of letting, that stuff just gets on you. And I know, trust me, I've been there. But having that strength really to look at the certainties, the positives, as I say, looking back. And the way that I tend to think of it is, well, if I sort of can't, if I don't think I can feel him do it, I know he's doing something. It's just loads of stuff sorting out, going on around, and then he's going to feed into me, you know. It's like when those times where you know you've said so many times, oh, how many more things are going to go wrong?
Yeah.
And again, I tend to find now that if it feels like so much stuff is going wrong, that's normally followed by this season of amazing stuff happening. Yeah. You know, almost as if the enemy's allowed to take the mickey a little bit. And then it's, right, this is what I'm going to do to sort that out.
I was struck by a verse in that second reading, where it said, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. And then goes on to be being holy as God is holy.
Mm.
And I was just struck by what I think Peter seems to be saying, that actually hope isn't just something for us to make us feel better.
Mm.
It's something that prompts action in us.
Yeah.
Because we hope and we look forward with confidence to this grace and the return of Jesus, actually that has implications for how we live now.
Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And living hopeful lives isn't just about kind of mindfulness to help you overcome depression and getting a new mindset. It's actually hopeful actions.
Mm.
Yeah.
Kingdom actions.
Yeah.
That are holy.
Yeah. Yeah.
Not to earn God's favour, but because we live out of that place of hope and belief that Jesus is returning,
yeah,
it pulls a holiness out of us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. It deepens your faith, doesn't it? It deepens your faith, doesn't it? That's what it's doing. It's deepening your faith. Because you as you said, that candle is flickering because you're struggling with stuff, but you're hoping in Christ. And then when you get through it, because you've held on, kind of thing, your faith is deepened by it, because you've got through it and you understand what's going on, and that God is working, even though you can't see, it's all black in front of you, basically. But essentially you get through it, and your faith is deepened because you know that God is going to come through, even though it's taken years or however long. And that hope, I think it does deepen your faith, really. Mm. Part of the process of that.
Yeah, I was just going to say that I think a big lesson that I've learned recently is that, you know, when you really want something, you're hopeful for a situation, like, most people who are regulars at church or whatever know that I've been out of work now for 9 months. The excellent news, guys, is that I found a job and I start on Monday. And I've totally changed what I'm doing. I'm having a total lifestyle change. Now, for so long, I was thinking, well, if this or this happens, I'll do that, that, and that. And then the more I've sort of dwelt on things that have already happened and how God's been so good to me, and I've come to realize that you have to step out in faith, trust, hope, whatever you want to call it, and we haven't got to always wait for God to give us something and then we do the action. It's a case, well, if you take that step, you show your faith, you show that you have hope in me and belief in me, then stuff will happen. And that's exactly what happened, because at the point that I decided things were going to change and I put my house on the market, everything started falling in place.
Yeah.
And it was just as if it was, now you've learned, you're not going to sit back and wait for the good stuff to happen to you. You've got to just walk towards me and get it.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Definitely. I've got a couple of comments here on the stream. So Liz has said she was talking with Tubbs and about how sometimes it's hard to have hope, humanly speaking. The world is in such a mess, climate change, COVID, oppressive governments, etc. Sometimes it's too hard to find hope as such. But spiritual hope is a total different thing. It goes beyond all human terms and understanding and gives us a taste of what will be, and that affects how we live now. which kind of links in with what you're saying as well. So, Ali has said, I guess it's about laying down holy habits that become second nature, which can then carry us through when hope seems far away.
I love that phrase, holy habits.
Yes.
Yeah, holy habits.
Holy habits. Is that what nuns who have too many moths in their nunnery wear?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, good conversation. Some good things coming up there. Thanks to those of you who are chipping in on the stream as well. If you want to, if you've got reflections at another time, you want to email them in, tim@allsaints-wellington.org, and we'll dial them in next week or put them in the Facebook group. Continue the conversation there. We're going to take a bit of a break now. Just give us some time to reflect on that, to invite the Holy Spirit to continue doing whatever the Holy Spirit is doing with us. As David says, Holy Spirit is always present, but sometimes we need a top up. And one of the ways we can do that is to be intentional and say, just come, Holy Spirit. We're going to have a bit of music, just a song which I think captures the idea of Jesus being our hope and someone we can trust and look towards. So give me a minute and I will try and get this going. Here we go.
Restores my soul.
So in that hope and knowledge of God holding on to us, we're going to spend some time in prayer. Sarah.
Yeah, thanks, Tim. So following the evening's theme, we'll use hope, the spelling of hope, H-O-P-E, to guide our prayers. So, Lord, we thank you that in a world of despair, you are our hope. In a world of darkness, you are our light. So let's just take a few seconds to gather our thoughts, listen to our hearts, and hear what God wants us to hear. So we start with honour. Father, we honour you, that in a world of despair, you are our hope. In a world of darkness, you are our light. In a world of sorrow, you are our joy. May our land flourish by the preaching of your word and the praising of your name.
And Father, we honour you with our hosannas, our cries of praise that trust you to rescue us. We thank you for Jesus' death and resurrection, for the inheritance you give us. We praise you for them. We honour you tonight, Lord. Amen.
Yes, Lord, we thank you that that you call us to live honourable lives to you, Lord. That what we say, what we do, how we, our actions, our thoughts, our deeds, Lord, would be honourable to you, Lord. That's what you call us to do. Lord, thank you that we don't have to do that in our strength, but we do it in yours, that by your spirit we can do these things. We just thank you for that now. Amen.
Amen.
So now ownership. Lord, we stand before you, your humble servants, and take ownership of the fact that we are broken and in need of your love. You are the God of hope and all things good. We know that we are not perfect, but sometimes we forget to pray, but sometimes we question our faith. But thank you for loving us unconditionally and giving us another day to try again.
And we own the fact that we are part of a society and a community that doesn't honour God. And we confess on behalf of our communities. And Lord, we beg your mercy, your grace, to bring healing and forgiveness, repentance. We know that we are part of this. So help us to be part of the solution as well, please, Lord.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord, we thank you that our ownership is in Christ and we belong to you, Lord. Yeah. Thank you that that's all we need, really, to know that that we belong to you. Mm-hmm. And you will be always looking out for us, Lord. You will always be giving us hope. You will always give us the joy, the love, the peace, the joy, the gladness. Thank you for that, Lord. Amen.
Amen. And Lord, your presence. Lord, we know that you are always present in our lives. Even when we are busy or distracted and not thinking of you. Help us to hear you saying, I am your hope, over all the other voices. We are running to you with both hands stretched out and grabbing onto you. We ask that you fill us with your hope and remind us today that hope is an unbreakable spiritual lifeline, even if it seems that we are too busy to notice.
Hmm.
Well, as we read earlier in from Hebrews 11, our faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. Lord, we thank you that that is an amazing verse that speaks about you, the hope that we have in you, about our faith is all tied up with hope in the Lord God Almighty. Thank you. Thank you that we can hope in you. Thank you. That's all we need to do, Lord. Thank you for verses in the Bible which speaks about hope so many times.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. And finally, in trust. Holy God, our only hope is in you. We entrust ourselves, our lives, and particularly those that feel they have no hope, to you. We thank you for the past. We trust you for today and believe for the future, that all your promises will come to pass so that we can rest forever in your love. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Sarah. Are there any particular prayer requests on the comments that we need to pick up this evening, Sean?
Unfortunately not, no.
No, that's okay. Just wanted to make space if there was. We'll continue praying with folk anyway. That's good. And if you've got things you'd like us to pray for, do drop us an email, tim@allsaints-wellington.org. And I hope this has been something that has given you hope tonight. It might be that you're in a difficult place and you are really struggling to get hold of hope. And if you need to chat to somebody about that, or you're just still feeling dark, do get in touch. Don't
freak out.
We're a community. We're here to walk with each other. So don't struggle on alone. But yeah, it's been a good evening.
It has. It's gone really quick.
Yeah. It has, yeah.
Whole hour gone already.
Yeah. Oh no, gosh.
So terrible. Never mind.
Lovely to think. What's next week's theme, Tim? Do you know off the top of your head?
No idea.
Oh, all right. I'm going to prompt people to send in stuff for them.
I know what it was going to be, but then David swapped on, so he's preaching next week again. He's doing three on the bounce, actually.
Well, he is Tigger.
He work hard before he goes. So I'm sorry, I don't know. So
that's fine. I was just trying to preempt some conversation. Yeah,
that's a very sensible suggestion, Sarah, but I'm not organized, so I don't know.
Oh, that's my one sensible suggestion for the year now, so that's it.
Okay, well you've done well to get to July without using it up. And you're starting work, your new job on Monday, aren't you, Sarah?
Yes! Oh, brilliant. Prayers, everyone!
Excellent.
Prayers for that. Yeah. Bless you both. Thank you for being with us. Thank you. Good night, Sean.
Good night, Sean.
Say good night, Sarah.
Good night, Sarah.
And good night, everybody else. Lovely to see you.